You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a new study shows hidden biases make crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter more helpful to some groups of people than to others. First, during General James Mattis's confirmation hearing for defense secretary, he asserted in written testimony obtained by ProPublica that climate change is not only real, but has already had an impact on regions throughout the world. Mattis's testimony could mark a significant break from the Trump administration, which just last week unveiled its proposed budget, which boosts defense spending and cuts funding to departments like the Environmental Protection Agency. Nora Bensahel is with us now. She's a distinguished scholar in residence at the School of International Service at American University. Nora, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this testimony wasn't public. This was written and it was obtained by ProPublica. But if you could tell us what exactly now Defense Secretary Mattis had to say about climate change.
He articulated what the Pentagon has actually said for quite some time, which is that climate change is an important national security challenge. He acknowledged that it is changing dynamics, weather dynamics around the planet, and that that has consequences not only for the U.S. military in terms of how it operates, but in terms of the threat environment, the types of challenges that the Defense Department might be called on to respond to. Some of that might be through the greater incidents of conflict that may happen, particularly over natural resources. But it also may be a result of the fact that there will be, with more weather events, more need for humanitarian assistance and disaster relief operations as well.
Did this testimony come as a surprise, given the stance that the Trump administration has taken on climate change?
Well, it certainly isn't consistent with what first candidate Trump and now President Trump have articulated. But it, as I said, it has been a fairly consistent position of those within the Defense Department for quite some time. For a number of years, the Department of Defense, and in particular the Navy, has been a champion of alternative fuels, not because they think that, you know, just that it's good for the environment, but because fuel usage on ships is a very big deal. It's one of the largest costs for the Navy. And so alternative fuels is seen as something that could make a huge difference for the Navy in the future. And actually, the Navy has been one of the biggest investors in alternative fuel research. In more recent documents, the 2014 Quadrennial Defense Review, which is sort of an overview of issues facing the Defense Department, acknowledged that climate change was an important national security challenge. And in 2015, the Senate committee asked the Department of Defense to prepare a report on what the national security implications of climate-related risks and a changing climate are. So it would have been quite a break with past precedent for Secretary Mattis to say that these things had nothing to do with the Defense Department. He would have had to, you know, justify why all of these previous efforts were not important. And it may not be his own personal views as well, and that's quite important too.
So was there any sort of response from the White House about the seeming departure in again, this stance on climate change?
Not that I've seen. I think that the Trump administration really wanted to get Secretary Mattis confirmed. So I don't think that they were necessarily going to publicly point out some of these differences. But the way that Secretary Mattis responded, again, as you said, these were written responses to questions asked by the Senate. He was fairly noncommittal about exactly what he would have the Defense Department do, saying that he would take office and do a review of various policies. But I think simply saying that climate change does matter and might have national security risks is probably not important enough of an issue for the Trump administration to have made an issue about it during his confirmation, given that they really wanted him to be his Trump Secretary of Defense.
Now, we've heard about the destabilizing impact that some in the military have said that climate change could have. Do you know if the military has taken any action so far about any sort of preemptive sort of military action or preparation that would deal with any sort of destabilization like that?
Well, certainly there's a lot of planning that goes on. And again, you have to distinguish between the types of events that may affect U.S. military operations and their ability to operate. You know, it impacts the Department of Defense infrastructure in home and abroad. When there are floods, when there are droughts and there are fires, those can affect military bases. When there's sea surges, particularly as part of storms, it affects Navy ports tremendously. So the Navy has to do planning for that. But in terms of its effect on the types of conflict that may happen, the real threat that's been talked about so far is just the prospect of instability. And that could take a number of different forms. As I said, it could include natural disasters and in particularly providing humanitarian relief. That's something the military plans and prepares for a great deal, and I'm sure this is factoring in to their planning. But it can mean things like refugee flows. That's an effect, that land forces have to deal with. There may be an increasing number of conflicts over food and water and other types of vital resources. And one of the big ones that the U.S. military has thought a lot about is the melting of the Arctic. That doesn't necessarily seem like a national security issue, but what that does is it's increasingly opening up trade routes through the Arctic, and wherever you have country sailing ships, there's an element of geopolitics and competition. And so, you know, ensuring that the now transitable seaways that are opening up as the Arctic ice melts is a scenario and contingency that the military needs to think about, particularly because Russia is a great Arctic power, and it borders a great deal of the Arctic, about half of it. So that certainly is something that the different military commanders have to be thinking about as they prepare and plan for possibilities. Doesn't mean that any of these things are going to happen, but it certainly does factor into their planning.
We're talking with Nora Bensahel right now. She's a distinguished scholar in residence at the School of International Service at American University, and talking about climate change in the military right now in light of Defense Secretary Mattis's break with the Trump administration over climate change. And Nora, you said earlier that this stance on climate change is not unusual. It has been the sort of thing that the military has been prepared for, has been thinking about actively for some time now. But is it typically the kind of thing that a defense secretary would advise a sitting president on?
Well, again, he may not advise in terms of the underlying science or anything like that, but in terms of how it affects the Department of Defense's ability to plan for future operations and the types of operations they need to prepare for, I do think that it does fall within the Secretary of Defense's realm, and I think he will be doing that. A lot of the types of planning that goes on in the Defense Department is not stuff that would rise to President Trump's attention necessarily, unless there were a particular crisis that resulted from it. But he's, you know, certainly able to give directions within the Defense Department on what types of contingencies to plan for and so on. I should say also that when Secretary Mattis was General Mattis, he did talk about, in particular, about fuel as a constraint on the military. I was speaking earlier about the Navy's role in championing alternative fuels. But as a Marine commander, you know, he was very well aware of the dependence of the Marine forces on not just fuel supply lines, but the fact that those fuel supply lines were often targets. Trucks and supply routes were among the most targeted parts of U.S. military operations. So it would have been hard for him to walk back on some of the things that he had said as a commander. And I do think that he will be very proactive if a crisis erupts where that becomes an issue, to mention those kinds of issues with President Trump.
Now, it was last week that we saw, I believe, the president's budget proposal. Among the things on the list, the EPA's climate programs would be ended, maybe in their entirety. The Department of Energy's programs would be scaled back. NASA's Earth monitoring programs may be also affected as well. Does that mean that the military stance and the president's could possibly come to a point of conflict, of odds down the road?
It could, but I think the greater clash is going to be between the president and Congress on this. The president's budget is a proposal. It does have to be approved by Congress, and there are many members of Congress who have already expressed their great unwillingness to accept some of those cuts. Senator Lindsey Graham, who is very involved in foreign affairs issues, for example, has said that the cuts that the president proposed to the State Department are, quote, dead on arrival. So there's going to be a lot of fighting over whether those are the right budgets to cut or not. Again, I don't see the Department of Defense playing a great role on, you know, issues related to climate change. I don't think they're likely to come out and be a strong proponent of restoring funding for the EPA, for example. But I do think that, especially because the Defense Department is slated to get some more money, it does look like at least they will get some of an increase in the defense budget, resourcing things to prepare for these types of conflict. And again, the planning, the scenario development, those types of things will probably go forward regardless of the budget.
Nora, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome.
Nora Bensahel is a distinguished scholar in residence at the School of International Service at American University. She was with us there to talk about climate change in the military, especially in light of Defense Secretary Mattis's seeming break with the Trump administration over climate change. Coming up, crowdfunding is still a relatively new way to fund a business venture. We'll find out why it may help some groups more than others. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.